Hello. My name is Eileen, and we will be reading the Pentagraph for Monday, January 13, 2020. We'll begin with the front page, and the first article is Easier for People. New Connect Transit mobile app gives riders more options. This is by Lenore Sabota, Bloomington. A new Connect Transit app will soon allow riders to pay fares with their phone and let riders, in effect, purchase a 30-day pass on an installment plan. The latter is being called fare capping. The app will monitor a person's account, and if they reach $32 in less than 30 days, they will be able to ride free for the remainder of the 30-day period, explained Martin Glaze, Chief Operating Officer for Connect Transit. No date has been set for launching the new app. We hope to roll it out soon, said Glaze. We have been testing it internally. The final piece is finishing arrangements with the clearinghouse that will handle credit card information, he said. Currently, bus riders can pay with cash, purchase a 7-day or 30-day pass, or scan their ID if they are a part of a universal access program, such as students at Heartland Community College and Illinois State University. The mobile app is going to give them more flexibility, said Glaze. Mike McCurdy, Connect Transport Board Chair, said, "We're becoming a cashless society, so I think this benefits those who don't carry cash or exact change, and it benefits the transit system by removing one more barrier to trying transit." Glaze said, "One of the biggest barriers is how it works and how you pay. In addition to the payment function, the app will also have route maps and a trip planning function similar to Google Maps. Users would be able to indicate where they are and where they want to go, and the app will give them options of which routes to take, how long the trip would take, and how much walking would be involved to and from the bus," Glaze explained. "Our hope is that this just makes it easier for people," he said. The current Connect Transit app will continue. The primary difference between the old app and the new one is the payment option. McCurdy said he is very excited by the prospect of fare capping. It levels the playing field for those who can't afford the upfront cost of a monthly pass. The app will be free to the customer with no additional fees. Those who pay through the app will get a QR code, one of those boxes with a black and white pattern, on their phone. They will scan it on the fare box, just like a person would scan a boarding pass on their phone when flying. The new system will use existing fare boxes, said Glaze. The idea of having a mobile ticketing option was considered when the transit system was installing the new fare boxes in 2016. But Glaze said they didn't think the technology was where it needed to be at that point. "The nice thing about waiting is the technology got cheaper," said Glaze. The GenFare mobile ticketing app will cost $75,560 over 3 years, with 80% of the cost covered by a federal grant and the remaining $15,112 coming from local capital funds, Glaze said. By waiting for technology costs to go down and working with GenFare to add features like fare capping, Connect was able to negotiate a lower price and saw savings of $185,440, he said. Connect Transit will be charged a transactional fee of 8.44% when customers purchase fares or passes through the mobile ticketing app, but that will not be charged to the customer. The estimated annual cost of the transactional fees is $7,000 to $10,000. Next article, yearly home sales dip. This is written by the Pantograph staff. Bloomington. Fewer houses were sold in Bloomington Normal during 2019, although the average price of existing homes crept up slightly. The Bloomington Normal Association of Realtors released year-end statistics last week for home sales throughout 2019. In all, buyers spent $461,765 buying new and existing homes in the Twin Cities. The vast majority of transactions were for existing homes, as the sale of new homes continued to lag. 49 newly built homes sold in 2019 compared to 86 in 2018. Buyers snapped up 2,587 existing homes in 2019 compared to 2,763 a year earlier. The average new home sold for $290,749 in 2019, with most of them purchased in September and December. The average existing home sold for $172,988 in 2019, with most of them purchased in June and July. Overall sales were down $40 million year to year. The real estate statistics showed existing home sales dropped by 28.6 million in volume, while new home sales dropped by $11 million. New home prices were just $3,000 less than in 2018, while existing home prices averaged $666 higher than the year before. Overall, sale prices were down just $884 year to year. Most homes were sold in the third and fourth. More rain, snow possible. Written by Kevin Barlow. Bloomington. After heavy rains pounded the area late in the week and a light snowfall early Sunday morning, relatively quiet and warm weather is expected for much of this week. Forecasters with the National Weather Service in Lincoln say a significant storm system may come into the picture later this week, bringing a chance of more rain and snow. Locations to the west of Bloomington Normal, such as Riverton in Sangamon County and Minonk in Woodford County, reported more than 2 inches of snow early Sunday. Riverton received 2.6 inches of snow, and Minonk had around 2.1 inches, according to the NWS. Beeson, Lincoln, and Mount Pulaski had around 1 inch of snow. In Bloomington Normal, most locations reported just a trace of snow. Law enforcement officials in rural areas reported some slick roads Saturday and Sunday. Near Downs, a school bus carrying 14 members of the East Peoria chess team was involved in a two-vehicle crash due to the slick roads. There were no injuries reported, and the team was treated to a pizza party, courtesy of Papa G's Pizza in Downs. Monday's high will be 41 degrees, said Scott Baker, a meteorologist with NWS. We have a couple of systems moving through Illinois, but look like they will hit more to the west and south of McLean County, he said. Despite the warm temperatures, Monday's high will be pretty close to average, he said. The mark around 40 degrees for an afternoon high is about normal, he added. We may go above that Tuesday when temperatures reach 47. More snow could come Wednesday, particularly during the morning hours, but it's likely to change to rain during the late morning. That system could stick around through Saturday, with a mixture of rain and snow each day. Chicago publisher to speak at IWU. This is written by the Pantograph staff. Bloomington, Jim Kirk, the publisher and executive editor of Crane's Chicago Business, will present the keynote address at Illinois Wesleyan University's Founders Day convocation. His talk on the future of journalism in the fake news era will be at 11 Wednesday in Presser Hall's Westbrook Auditorium, 1210 North Park Street in Bloomington. His presentation is free and open to the public. The university said his talk fits with the year's intellectual theme, fact or fiction. Founders Day is an annual event honoring the 30 civic and religious leaders who came together in 1850 to establish IWU. Kirk is a 1990 graduate of Illinois State University and served as publisher and editor-in-chief of the Chicago Sun-Times for more than 5 years. He joined Crane's in November 2018. It is among the largest city business newspapers in the country. He was chief of editorial operations for Crane's Chicago Business for 18 months in 2011 and 2012. He was inducted into the Vedette Hall of Fame at ISU in 2018. Before moving to Crane's, he was with Tribune Publishing, where his duties included interim editor and then editor-in-chief of the Los Angeles Times, which won the Pulitzer Prize for investigative reporting for work well done while he led the paper. He also worked for Bloomberg News, overseeing coverage of the White House, Congress, and federal agencies. Heartland Bank hires Salazar as VP, Human Resources Manager. Bloomington. Heartland Bank and Trust Company announces Howard Salazar has been hired as Vice President, Human Resources Manager. Salazar is located at the bank's office at 405 North Hershey Road in Bloomington. He brings 24 years of human resources experience to the bank at companies including Harley-Davidson, Kimberly-Clark, Sara Lee, and the University of Illinois. Salazar is responsible for the bank's compensation, benefits, and employee relations area. Salazar is a graduate of the University of Illinois, where he earned a bachelor's degree and master's degree in human resources management. He holds a professional in human resources certification and is a member of the Society of Human Resources Management. Salazar makes his home in Mahomet with wife Jenny and son Andrew. We are very fortunate to have Howard and his experience to serve and support our employees at Heartland Bank, said Jill Smith, Senior Vice President, Human Resources Director. His past roles, relationship building ability, and knowledge of the human resources industry make him the perfect fit for our company. Heartland Bank and Trust Company is an independently owned community bank with assets of $3 billion. Headquartered in Bloomington, the bank has offices in communities throughout Illinois. The bank offers a complete line of financial services to commercial and retail customers. More information is available on the bank's website at www.hbtbank.com. Synergy receives Chamber Home Care Awards. Normal. Synergy Home Care of Central Illinois has been named Champaign Chamber of Commerce 2019 Small Business of the Year and Provider of Choice from Home Care Pulse. The Champaign Chamber annual meeting was held October 25, 2019 at the Hilton Garden Inn in Champaign. Gay and Jim Aberg opened Synergy Home Care of Central Illinois, first in Bloomington, in 2013, after their own experiences of caring for loved ones. They expanded to the communities of Champaign in 2015, Decatur in 2017, and Springfield in 2019. The Provider of Choice Award is based on client satisfaction ratings collected from telephone interviews performed by Home Care Pulse, an independent satisfaction research firm. These home care agencies are best in class for providing quality care to their clients. This recognition assures that the agency is trustworthy and has proven its ability to provide outstanding in-home care services. The award recognizes outstanding performance in abilities of caregivers, compassion of caregivers, professionalism of caregivers and office staff, communication from providers, and enhancing the lives of their clients and their families. Synergy Home Care is a home services provider that assists people of any age with all aspects of daily living. Services include, but are not limited to, light housekeeping, personal care, transportation to appointments, errands, medication reminders, meal preparation, companionship, and respite for family caregivers. Caregivers are all Synergy Home Care employees trained, background checked, licensed, and insured. Synergy seeks to find the most caring and compassionate individuals to provide the highest level of care. Synergy Home Care of Central Illinois is a locally owned and operated franchise. The Normal office is located at 115 Susan Drive, Normal. Call them for a no-obligation home assessment at 309-808-3047. Or look them up at synergyhomecare.com. On to Veterans Corner. Jerry A. Vogler Sr. has written this article. The VA offers the Braille and Talking Book program for veterans who have difficulty with regular print materials. This program from the National Library Service and the Library of Congress provides talking books, audio magazines, and digital talking book players free of charge. Any honorably discharged veteran who is blind, has low vision, or a disability preventing the reading of traditional materials is eligible. Participants choose whether their selected reading materials are delivered by mail, downloaded from the web-based service BARD, Braille and Audio Reading Download, or through the BARD mobile app for smartphones and tablets. The Braille and Talking Books program is accomplished through a nationwide network of libraries to serve citizens and veterans living inside the U.S. or abroad. To apply for the program, call the National Library Service at 1-888-NLS-READ. That's 1-888-657-7323, or visit www.loc.gov/that-all-may-read, all one word. And did you know January is Cervical Cancer Awareness Month? VA encourages female veterans to talk to their primary care provider about cervical cancer testing because early detection can help save lives. Cervical cancer was once the number one cause of cancer-related death in women. Due to increased screening, the number of cervical cancer deaths in the U.S. has dropped by more than 50% since the 1970s, according to the American Cancer Society. Female veterans should contact the Women Veteran Call Center at 1-855-829-6636. Staff there can connect you with a program manager at a local VA facility for more information. Additionally, you can chat online via real-time messaging or visit www.womenshealth.va.gov. Here's a question. I served in the Army as an officer and retired. I have been out of the service for several years. I heard recently that the military can call me to active duty. What's the straight skivvy about this issue? Here's the answer. When it comes to retaining and recalling retirees and officers, each military service handles the situation in its own way. The Navy, when an enlisted member retires after 20 years of active duty, transfers the retiree to the Fleet Reserve. They remain in the Fleet Reserve until they have a total of 30 years service and then are transferred to the retired roles. That means a Navy retiree who retired 9 years ago may be recalled to active duty if there is a reserve recall. Other services do not have that stipulation. If you retired as an enlistee or a non-commissioned officer from a service other than the Navy, your time has been served and you will not be recalled. When an officer retires, the commission normally remains in force and effect forever. In return for the privilege of being legally entitled to being addressed by their military rank and getting all their retirement benefits, they basically remain an officer of the United States until death. They can resign their commission, but few do. If there is a recall, the officers can be brought back without an act of Congress or a presidential recall. Okay, the next question. A day after a U.S. airstrike took out a prominent Iranian general in Iraq, the Selective Service System's website crashed. Social media exploded with fears of the draft, Selective Service, being restarted. What's the truth about restarting the draft? And here is the answer. The reason the Selective Service website crashed was a large volume of traffic to register or verify registration for the draft from people. The draft is not coming back without an act of Congress. The authority to draft into military service ran out in 1973. Congress tasked the National Commission on Military, National, and Public Service with looking at a host of issues concerning the Selective Service, including whether it needed any more and if women should be required to register since all military occupational specialties are now open to women. Registration for the draft is still required for men at age 18. Failure for males to register will probably result in a disqualification for many educational grants and other benefits from the government. The author of this article is the superintendent of the McLean County Veterans Assistance Committee. Here's an article about our Social Security, written by Elaine Popejoy, who is the Social Security District Manager in Bloomington. With our busy lives, it's easy to fall into that cycle of postponing some tasks because of their priorities. This may be true for you when it comes to changing your payment method for Social Security benefits. Unfortunately, forgetting to change your payment method can lead to delayed payments. The most convenient way to change your direct deposit information with Social Security is by creating a My Social Security account online at www.socialsecurity.gov/myaccount. Once you create your account, you can update your bank information without leaving the comfort of your home. Another way to change your district Your direct deposit is by calling Social Security at 1-800-772-1213 to make the change over the phone. If you prefer to speak to someone in person, you can visit your local Social Security office with that necessary information. Because we are committed to protecting your personal information, we need some form of identification to verify who you are. If you are online, we verified your identity when you initially created your My Social Security account. All you need to do is log in at www.socialsecurity.gov/myaccount with your security username and password to gain access to your information. If you call Social Security, we will ask identifying questions to ensure we are speaking to the right person. If you visit the office, you will need to bring a driver's license or some form of ID with you. Once we have identified that you are the correct person and are authorized to make changes on the Social Security record, all we need is the routing number, account number, and type of account established. We don't ask for a voided check, nor do we obtain verification from the bank. Therefore, you should be sure you are providing accurate information to us. Because you may be unsure if your direct deposit change will affect your next payment, we highly recommend that you do not close the old bank account until you have seen your first Social Security deposit in the new bank account. That way, you can feel secure you will receive your benefits on time, regardless of when the change was reported to Social Security. When you have to report changes to your direct deposit, be sure to visit us online at www.socialsecurity.gov/myaccount. Social Security always strives to put you in control by providing the best experience and service, no matter where, when, or how you decide to do business with us. This column was prepared by the Social Security Administration. For fast answers to specific Social Security questions, contact Social Security toll-free at 800-772-1213 or visit www.socialsecurity.gov. Here's a little fun today's flick fact. Here's the question. It took how many pounds of food for the hen to produce those eggs you had for breakfast? Here's the answer. The average Central Illinois farm hen has to eat 4 pounds of feed to produce a dozen eggs. So claim the ag folk in Springfield. Today's highlight. On January 13, 2012, the Italian luxury liner Costa Concordia ran aground off the Tuscan island of Giglio and flipped onto its side. 32 people were killed. Here's a good thought for today. Never underestimate your power to change yourself. Never overestimate your power to change others. Jackson Brown, Jr., American writer.